where the case is supposed to abate so that there's time to substitute the party.
Right.
And everything is basically supposed to stop and go on hold. Well, that was actually what was supposed to happen in the beginning anyway, once it was shown that BFR was defunct. Because the cases say no. What the judge is actually supposed to do is give the LLC, and I put this is a more complicated thinking case law, but it's pretty straightforward. And I think this one went into the bankruptcy court too, because it definitely went into Kastanakis. That what Kastanakis was supposed to do was he was supposed to abate the case right from the beginning to give BFR time to correct itself. Because what the case says is, because otherwise, what they're doing is they're taking advantage of an artificial, of a creature. Every corporation is a creature of the state, meaning that the only reason that there would be any problem with the organization is if they somehow fall out of line with the requirements of the Secretary of State. Do you have an active manager? Do you have an active registered agent for service of process? Well, the cases come in and say it's improper to have this action that's taken advantage of the status with the Secretary of State, because you should have time. There's defenses that could be raised if there was somebody to actually represent the organization.
Right.
Right, which that's where Bill's whole thing comes in, and that's where it should be she ought to be able to show, this is what's telling you why they did it the way they did it. They monkeyed around with who was in control of BFR, they never gave the documents, so then they came in and they took the default against BFR, but they took it in an improper way. Well, wait a minute, Kastanakis should have been, hey, what's going on with this entity? Is there anyone to represent this entity? That's what Kastanakis.
Well, actually, he did say that at one hearing, and they said that that me and Candace had represented it.
Well, right. He makes that, he does actually say that. In fact, I think he says that at summary judgment.
Yeah. Exactly.
He kind of at one point, but he skips by it though. He doesn't.
Right, they go right over it. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where they were trying to put the blame on you, but the problem with any of that for summary judgment is, guess what? Even if that was true, that it was your fault and Candace's fault, there's no pleading that says that, and there's no affidavit with competent evidence that shows that for summary judgment.
And her affidavit was false. It should be stricken right there.
Exactly.
For saying that he was alive.
Exactly.
And could she have signed that? Was she incapacitated at that point?
Right.
And how's she showing up at this hearing without her representative?
Right.
And now they can't say, oh, we didn't know, and, blah, because Joanna went on the stand in bankruptcy and made the claim.
Right.
So,
just to correct another point, I didn't get a chance to put it in the email, but I got some sense, and I don't know if this is where she was going with it, but I got some sense from some of the questions you said Inger was asking, that because you said something about Inger focusing on what Leslie filed and she didn't bring something up in her first one, in her 1.530. Well, the way 1.530 works, okay, and it's right in the statute itself, you got 15 days to file your initial 1.530, okay? But the statute actually says you can supplement your 1.530. The court can take additional evidence and additional filings after the 15 days. Okay, so what happened here is within 15 days, a basic filing. back on board, and Leslie only had limited time, so we put as many arguments as possible in the first filings. Now, if he had come in and he had tried to rule right away, it might have stopped things, but he didn't, right? And then he orders what's his name to respond, but he doesn't order closing up the 1.530. So then the guy never actually really responds. And that's what Leslie's response says. Part of this document today, that's the document that says that. Well, wait a minute. He was ordered to respond to my original one, and he doesn't even say anything about the consent.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So then, when Kastanakis didn't rule on that, that's right, just, you know, every 4 or 5 days or whatever it took me to go through the rest of the docket and the rest of the research and the rest of whatever, we just kept filing supplemental lists, supplemental that.
Right.
So that's by statute. So if she's confused on that, all she's got to do is go read the statute. But, you know, it allows you to supplement your evidence until the judge closes the hearing. And the judge didn't, Kastanakis never closed the hearing.
Right.
In fact, you never heard it within, you know, one day of the scheduled sale. Mm-hmm. So that was that one. So I'm trying to think of what else. I mean,
okay,
you know,
and just to be clear, they took a default on BFR on the service of the second amended complaint, not the third.
Right, but at the time they took it, the third amended complaint had already been filed.
Okay.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Because you said something yesterday, you said it twice over the last couple of days about this electronic service. They can do electronic service after you get the first service right. You have to get the first... If they've been summoned in a correct way on the first complaint, right?
Right.
Then when you file your second or your third or your fourth amended complaint, I don't know that you have to go out and serve them the same way. If they've already been properly summoned on the first complaint, then you could potentially use an email service on the second, third, and fourth. You follow?
Yeah, you got to get somebody served properly at some point in the beginning.
Right. So that whole thing about email, you can't do the email service if you never served them right the first time around. Now, that's what they used on, that's what they were trying to use on you.
But they're saying they served Tesher is fine because he was the registered agent.
Well, except for that's not what he says in the transcript. By March of 2020, he's admitting that that's not true.
Right.
So, and, I mean, there is a case that said that I still have time to go pull it out for the readers. No, Louisa does, because she's dealt with amended complaints. When you amend your complaint, you're replacing... The prior one becomes defunct.
Right.
So trying to take a default on the second, when if he had taken a default on the second before he filed the third, well, that might have been okay. And then he could actually just say, well, he defaulted on the second, so he defaulted on the third.
Right.
That's assuming service of the second was okay. But he didn't, that's not what he did. He didn't even do that. And he didn't try to claim it, you know? Because if you look at his motion, he doesn't say, oh, wow, you know, because the BFR defaulted on the second,
right.
we're taking a default on the third because of the default on the second. No, he doesn't say that. And again, he's already said that the service is no good.
Right.
So for him to have done that through the clerk and not done that, at the very least, he should have done that through Kastanakis. That's what shows right there that there's fucking backdoor collusion. Because that's a pretty, most judges would be like, well, wait a minute, you just told me on the record 2 months ago, Mr. Sweet Apple, were correcting this. But instead of correcting this, you went behind my back and you tried to go through the clerk and slide this fucking bullshit through. That's what Kazanaki should have been saying. I mean, you know, obviously you don't use the word bullshit when you're in court.
No, of course.
But Kazanaki was an honest judge, that's what he would have said. He would have been having a sanctions hearing against Sweet Apple, you know, because that is a fraud. That's like a fraud on the court. Like, well, wait a minute, what did you do?
Right.
Right? You put documents that you know don't even belong in there, that are false for the time period, because you're in the third, you're not the second. And you tried to slide that through the clerk as if, you know,
nothing was
wrong.
Right.
Well, so that's where, you know, obviously whatever Inger's going to do with Kazanaki, you know, is what she's going to do. But Kazanaki's had, this wasn't a pull the wool over his eyes scenario. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He had to know. The way he was orchestrating the hearing showed that he knew.
Absolutely.
He wouldn't listen to Leslie. He wouldn't listen to us. Every time anybody spoke other than Sweet Apple, we were shut down.
Well, that was the main part of the steering that he does, is he does the steering to bypass the 40-day thing. The way they tried the way they rigged that, is, you know, Sweet Apple saying, oh, they defaulted. You know, so because they defaulted, I didn't have to do this 40-day thing. Well, then, no. Josh didn't default. Jake didn't default. BFR really didn't default. Technically, you really didn't default. You hadn't defaulted either.
Right. I've never been served in that case, personally.
Well, not only... So that's only one part of the default. The other part of the default is that, hey, guess what? You actually did raise defenses in the case. So because you raised defenses in the case when you appeared, then they couldn't take a default on you.
Right.
Well, they could, but they would have to take they would have to file a very special type of notice. They would have had to give you additional notice. Because you showed up and said, hey, this is wrong, service is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. So therefore, you didn't default, you actually put affirmative defenses in the record. So, anyway. It's a clusterfuck. I mean, actually, when you step back, I mean, if somebody, you know, you can get confused when you get in the weeds on this thing if you don't step back and just look at it like, no, this is what they're doing. They're orchestrating a fraud.
Right.
Once again, they couldn't have anybody actually answer legally because their answers would have killed us. So we had to do this and we had to do that.
Right. How they got around answers.
Yeah.
How they got around not notifying the court that somebody was dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of...
I can't believe that with the notice that he's dead, they still filed for a hearing in Walt's name.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't make it up.
Yeah, no. Over the top.
I mean, that's how corrupt it is against me, that they just get away with this shit and I can't get the police to do anything.
Well, right, that's why it would be interesting.
That's why we should be filing a 1983 deprivation of due process rights, that the state of Florida has shut down entirely my due process rights. I can't file, people can sue me, evict me, foreclose on me, and I can't file an appeal.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of some other case years ago that has nothing to do with this case. Well, it does have a lot to do with it, but...
Yeah, I mean, it really has nothing to do with it, but I don't want to say that.
Crazy getting crazier.
Yeah. fucking hacking booth. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, they're all over us. I'm hacked the last few days almost hourly.
And it's not just moving the mouse. It's moving the mouse while you're typing. So you think you're typing on one line, but then actually the four characters else. I did an email for Skinner to send to his lawyer yesterday, and then I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, fuck, that's where the four letters went. And went right up by the, Dear John, and instead of Dear John, comma, being nice, it went Dear John, and then after the comma, fucking four letters that had no business belonging there were up there. I didn't even know they were up there, because they couldn't see it at the time. So just get it. I would just have her get the document, look at the fucking, look at the exhibit yourself. Give it to him to open it up.
You want me to open it now?
Open the exhibit.
Hold on. Give me a second. Correction. The exhibit is...
the second of chat.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
Well, so just read it and see if it's clear to you. Just look through the layout.
Oh, and they're saying Tesher never really resigned. He sent us an unsigned, unfiled resignation.
Yeah, but when are they saying that? They never said that in court. That's not what Castronaki says that day.
Right.
So who brought that up?
I think Inger might not have fully understood that.
The point is that they actually, that's what I'm saying, that's more fraud by fucking Rose and Tetra, because he resigned from all Bernstein matters by court order in 2014. Or 15, whenever you caught it.
Oh, so, and here they're saying the second amended complaint.
Mm-hmm.
To date, defendants failed to file a response to the second amended complaint.
Right, but they're already on, you're already in the, they've already filed the third amended complaint by that point.
Okay, got it.
In fact, the second amended complaint was filed in 2018.
And this thing wasn't served on BFR.
Right.
Or Candace.
Right.
And it served on Brian O'Connell instead of Ted.
Right. So, one thing... I understand why it has its rate, but she can't really play into, that's one of the troubles here, is you can't take every document at face value, because you got to understand in the context of what they're doing.
That's weird. This thing's dated two dates. It says dated on September 18, 2018. And above that in big print is September 20th, 2018.
Yeah.
On page 6 of 7 of that document you just sent me.
Exactly. Yeah, so what the hell is going on there, Joe? Yeah.
Oh, okay. They what?
There's nothing at the Secretary of State that you even tried to file anything.
That who tried to file anything?
That you did.
With the Secretary of the State?
Yeah.
They're not putting any of that up there?
There wasn't, as of a few days ago, there was nothing up there.
Well, remember, they changed the, put my name on the thing, put my address. Who did that?
Right, and that was the email they never responded to, although they may have tried to respond to it later, but, you know, that would have went to a defunct email. Leslie was in control of, but, I mean, they hadn't responded for fucking 30 days. Yeah, I think there's somebody dirty in the Secretary of State's office that involved in all of the anyway.
Yeah, that does something for him.
Yeah. Because the whole thing with the Lionsgate Land Trust and blah, 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 you know. But, I checked SunBiz a few nights ago, and there's nothing new. Like, you were filing, I thought you started filing to reinstate the thing.
What?
I thought you were filing to reinstate BFR and paid money to do that.
Yeah. Well, I dropped that because we're not in bankruptcy anymore.
Yeah, I know, but I thought you at least started it and paid
it. I did. I paid for it, but I have to pay the back tax to get it active. I paid the 1 year this year, but they don't activate it until you pay the back years.
So they're not even showing that you paid anything this year is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. So they'll probably try to make it pay it again, proof or whatever.
Well, I have a company that sends me you have to pay the balance, you know, and all that. So, yeah.
Well, back to the unsigned thing that Tedger sends Rose at the tail end of that letter. Tedger said something like, you know, there's a fee that's going to be due. Like, he's trying to get money from Rose to pay the fee.
He's telling Rose, you have to submit my resignation and pay a fee.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, but that's way fucked up because, we only can file the resignation in the court of all Bernstein matters.
Right. He can't act as a registered agent. Right.
Right.
Well, we got a 5-minute hearing.
Well, that's why she should be canceling. I would move to cancel the hearing.
Right. Based on the fact that he's dead and she's in a...
Yeah, guardianship. I mean, even as notice of hearing, I mean, it's like, you can't even fucking do that.
Exactly.
And he didn't do that as tenants by the entirety anyway.
Right.
So the thing is like, he's fucked, it because the first moment he tries to change it in one, it's going to contradict what he did in the other. You know, so...
Yeah, and they have some new party in the wherefore.
Yeah, yeah.
Some trust we've never heard of.
Well, I mean, when is she planning to file? It's almost January 1st.
I think... We're talking to her today about what she's filing.
All right. Well. So I would get her those documents so she can wrap her head around those, and then I can try to type up some other bullet points later.
Okay.
I was trying to find the full transcript from March, because we did put it in, but the first one I told you about yesterday, I thought it was the March one, but it was the November summary judgment one. But that's not a bad one to have either, because you can see how, at least how fucking Kastanakis was fucking working fucking Leslie over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, either give her, yeah, he lied to her.
They directly lied to her, like, at least once, not twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we resolved that a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they didn't.
That's right. That's why they had to get rid of Arthur.
Yeah. Well, you see, if you go through Leslie's document, I forget which paragraph it is, but it's got two or three major cases supporting the fact that once Arthur filed that, they couldn't go to summary judgment.
Okay.
Just because of that. And the fact that it wasn't resolved at the time of summary judgment.
Right.
So, some of that's in bold, so...
So what's the goal? To get him to have to reopen the case?
The goal is to vacate the fucking judgment.
Right, but then where does that put us?
Then that puts you back... So you start by vacating the judgment, and then once he does it, then I would be focusing on the statute of limitations.
Okay.
For dismissal, but I wouldn't necessarily try to get dismissal and vacating the judgment all at once.
Okay. So vacate first?
Yeah, vacate first, you know.
Yeah. The judgment's in a dead man's name. The right. Whole okay, got it. And the other arguments.
Right. The judgment was no good, I mean, it's 100% crystal clear. Sweet Apple had no authority to submit for that. There's a fucking PR to the estate.
Right.
Starting in June.
Yeah.
Well, I think the letters get issued in July, the first week of July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
But by the Florida Supreme Court, once fucking January 6th happened, fucking or 5th, whatever it was, Sweet Apple was done. He couldn't move.
Right, he couldn't represent Wall.
Yeah.
That's right. He just kept... He's still representing Wall.
Right.
It's mind-blowing.
Right.
And so hopefully Inger comes in with the hammer here and starts hammering on their heads on it.
Right, and again, to understand the difference between this case and the other one is... It would be a different thing if Sweet Apple was already in there claiming that they were tenants by the entirety. Then once Wall died, he still would have to tell the court that Wall died.
Right.
But he could continue on because then it might automatically flow.
Right.
But that's assuming they already had it in there. They never had it in there.
Right.
You know?
Because it wasn't that way. It was Walt and Patsom individually.
Exactly, exactly.
And so they spelled it out that way. They put it in the complaint.
Yep. And so that's like a whole nother... So that's fucking fraud on the bankruptcy court right there, you know?
Absolutely.
Except for the bankruptcy court judge was part of the fraud, so...
Or became part of it, yep. He certainly did. Pedophile then went after children.
Yeah. What the fuck is that guy's name anyway?
Eric Kimball.
Oh, yeah, good old Eric. Just gotta think of Dr. Kimball to see if Dr. Kimball is a good guy. He's actually innocent.
Right.
You know, that's a real story.
I know, that is.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, there's some deviations, but... Actually, there was a series, that TV series that came out in the 60s, that sometimes is on the one oldies channel.
Yep. Yeah, that happened in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Big news. Yeah, I feel like I'm living in that, you know? Where people are conspiring against you at every level, everyone around you, you know? And they're flipping it on you, like you did something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the funny thing. I'm going in these courts. I've never done a wrong thing in the court. I've never lied to a court, frauded a court, cheated anybody. And yet, you know, this is the reaction I get.
Yeah.
But the question is, how can a court that I'm accusing of ripping off my patents do me justice? You know, and now we can prove that the Florida courts have shut me down of justice. And now are attacking my children. And trying to steal our property. I mean, it's mind-boggling. So that's what we got to go to the Popo Man. Either later today or tomorrow is our deadline for that. I can't believe that guy hasn't called back.
Yeah.
It's terribly upsetting. But.
Well, yeah.
We'll put the pressure on him right here. I mean, I'll take it to internal affairs next.
Yeah.
All right, you need some rest?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd still be kind of curious, like, you know, how all those fucking, how the helicopter started flying over you when Candace
was
buying pizza at fucking 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever she was doing.
Yeah, and then the two deputies from the U.S. Marshal come there.
Yeah.
Right after. I thought, did we put that in the letter to, what's his name? Palmieri?
No.
Yeah, might not have got in there.
Has he responded?
No. I didn't see anything, but let me check. I went to bed early last night. Yeah, you can't say, do you want to talk at 8? And then wait till 8:30 because that pill kicks in.
No. Yeah. I remember that.
Palmieri. Nope.
Yeah, so it's taking a little bit longer to respond this time.
Yeah.
When did you send that?
Thank you for your prompt reply on December 22nd. 6 days ago.
That's when you sent the reply?
Yeah.
To his reply?
Correct.
Okay, so he sent several days before, yeah, at least a day and a half before Christmas, and now a whole day after Christmas.
Yep.
So he's up to 3 days not knowing how to answer.
Exactly.
So I'm sure he's checking with lawyers now that you've asked him if he checked with lawyers before. And now they're trying to figure out how the fuck do we get out of this one.
Yeah, and from what I see with Chris Gonzalez, who filed with his office and got a bullshit response, they do docket it. There are case numbers. It is formally dismissed with a case number. I'm telling you, this guy never docketed the fucking thing.
On yours?
Yep.
Alright.
Yeah, because you saw Gonzalez, right?
Well, what do you mean, saw it? What?
The Chris Gonzalez. I'll forward it to you right now.
I saw something a few days ago. I was trying to figure out what you're referring to now, though.
I just sent it to you. Oh, but wait, it didn't have the attachment. Please see the attached closeout letter. But it's not attached. OPPG.
What did Hillary say about your response?
Oh, here, she hasn't. She's avoiding me for some reason. Okay, I sent it to you again with the attachment. Sorry.
Now, what's going on with Louisa? I mean, she's got until the 12th anyway, but, you know.
I don't know what she's doing. So much cannabis email.
I don't get that much.
Yeah, no, I'm signed up with all these dispensaries.
Yeah, but you gotta be careful. I was just checking one out the other day, and the fucking vault, you know, they're like claiming, oh, no, we can get it to you because of the federal whatever fucking farm bill from 2018. We can get it to all these different states, blah, blah, blah. And you gotta fucking check it out because they have nicely named, really good looking bud, but some of it's like 23% fucking THC because it's driven fucking CBD, but it's like CBD flower.
Oh, no, I know. I know all about it. I just actually posted some stuff on that.
What's the point of that?
Well, they're now making CBD get you high by altering one of the chemicals in it, but it uses a whole bunch of really bad, dangerous chemicals to do it. And so that CBD can now get you high, and it's being sold in gas stations, being mailed everywhere because it falls under CBD. So everybody's thinking it doesn't get you high, but this shit gets you really high.
Yeah, see, I don't want that. I want fucking regular, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's going to get hard to get that now that Monsanto's buying up all the seeds.
Yeah. Shit, I was just watching fucking, by 1974... 76, probably, Barnaby Jones last night, where his nephew, Jedediah Jones, which also goes by Dale Burning, goes, you know, certainly uses his full name, Jedediah. But anyway, Jedediah Jones, his nephew's down in Hawaii with his good friend who called him out to Hawaii. In 1976, Barnaby Jones, because his good friend's having a problem in Hawaii. The real problem is the good friend's brother was an independent fucking pot grower. It's all exploded out in 1976. You know, they started using like the pineapple packaging and the pineapple distributor through the shipping lines. That fucking